And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today we salute our Russian brothers and cousins who are being sent into battle against the worst scum the world has seen since Adolf Hitler's Nazis created a black death across Europe. Welcome to the Savage Nation. At the same time that Russia is stepping up to take out the worst threat to civilization since the Nazis, your leader is leading with his hind, not only doing as little as he can, possibly working for the other side, as evidenced by the fact that yesterday I showed you definitively on this program that before our Air Force bombed 118 ISIS fuel trucks, your commander-in-chief leafleted the truck drivers and told them to get out before they got killed. If that does not show you everything you need to know about Hussein in the White House, I don't know what else to present before you. Moreover, there is no valid reason why these so-called refugees should not be resettled in Islamic countries. There are approximately 15 Islamic nations. Most of them have Arabic speakers. They have the same religion. They have plenty of money. They have plenty of land. Why is no one insisting that these Muslims from Syria and from Iraq be sent to Middle Eastern nations and that we take in the Christians and Yazidis who are being slaughtered, raped, murdered, kidnapped by the Muslim bastards? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand that you're at war? If you can still walk around as this doesn't really affect you and lie to yourself, you know, only bigots would oppose bringing in Syrian refugees. Do you understand it's the same as the Jews in World War II? Don't you understand that a survey done in 1939 by Gallup about admitting Jewish children said, no, don't bring them in? Don't you understand that the same bigotry that existed in America then exists in America now by the same right-wingers? Don't you understand that this is the lie being put out by the liberal organs of propaganda? Now, how do we compare the two situations unless you're mentally ill? Only a mentally ill liberal would compare the Jews of the 1930s fleeing Hitler to the Syrian refugees that Obama is importing into the United States of America. Of course they're different. Jewish immigrants weren't trying to kill us. Jewish immigrants didn't come here with suicide belts. Jewish immigrants generally were Jewish. Do I have to spell out what that means in a Judeo-Christian nation? They were not Muslim. We are a Judeo-Christian society. Judeo-Christian society. Not a Muslim, a Muso-Christian society, as Hussein would have you believe. The situation now is completely different. Jewish liberals are once again being hoodwinked by the illegitimate administration. You have no concern in admitting refugees from Syria? None? You have no concerns about this? Then you are mentally ill in light of what's going on in the world. Now, today I have Donald Trump on in about 20 minutes for a very brief interview. It's a big deal to have him on. I have the questions ready, so please don't call and say what you'd ask Mr. Trump, because I have them. We only have a few minutes with him. I know exactly what I'm going to ask him, and it's pretty clear to me. The number one thing is, what would you do right now to stop ISIS if you were president? Number one question. No other question is on my mind. Nothing. I care about nothing else except survival. Nothing. And we have a madman in the White House who at a time like this is not only ignoring the wishes of most of the states, oh, except California, what would you expect from Moonbeam? Why wouldn't Moonbeam want Syrian Muslim refugees in California? Why wouldn't Catholic charities? You know, there's no difference between these religious so-called front groups that are making billions in smuggling refugees into America and the coyotes who smuggle refugees into America. You realize that they're just like smuggling groups? Do you realize that Catholic charities and the Lutheran charities and the Jewish charities that are making money hand over fist on these refugees that are being brought in are very similar to the coyotes who smuggle people into this country? Oh, I know one is legal and one is illegal, but tell me when that ever made a difference, when the fundamental result is the same. I mean, coyote made $2,000, $3,000 a head for bringing in Mexicans illegally? How much a head do you think Catholic Charities is making for bringing in Syrians? Probably far more than that. So you see, if you follow the money, you understand that it all gets kicked up to the Vatican. Oh, yeah, there's a little vig comes off the top. And now you understand why the Pope and Obama are so cozily in agreement on so many things. Now, we have some headlines to talk about, big ones. They killed that piece of human trash, the Untermensch with the beard from Morocco. That's the latest headline. The Untermensch from Morocco, who masterminded the killings in Paris, apparently was killed last night in the raid by the brave Parisian policemen. What an attack that was. I couldn't stop watching it last night. It went on for hours. They blew up an entire apartment block. I wonder if the equivalent of the ACLU in France will now sue the police for disturbing the sleep of the other jihadists and fellow travelers in that apartment building. And we have a picture of the Paris terrorists who did not get blown up in the raid, who were planning to attack the Charles de Gaulle Airport and a mall next. They stopped these vermin before they struck again. In other words, they did a preemptive raid unlike that of Barry Soetro. Barry Soetro will not do preemptive raids. The FBI has 1,000 investigations ongoing. You can drag them all out by their filthy hair right now. Drag them out! Detain them! Before they kill children in this country. Even Hollande, the socialist Hollande, knows that you have to do extraordinary things to protect your people. But not Soetro. And you know what's interesting about Barry from Honolulu? Instead of attacking the Muslim terrorists, he attacks Republicans. He is such a sick puppy that when you listen to clip one, you're going to see how ill this man is and why I will repeat again what I believe needs to be done. We need to convene a board of medical examiners, 9 psychiatrists picked by both parties after much squabbling, to determine whether this man is fit to serve as president and commander-in-chief, because he is evidencing all the signs of mental illness. Listen to clip number one.
These are the same folks oftentimes who suggest that they're so tough that just talking to Putin or staring down ISIL or using some additional rhetoric somehow is going to solve the problems out there. But apparently they're scared of widows and orphans coming into the United States of America as part of our tradition of compassion. At first they were worried about the press being too tough on them during debates. Now they're worried about 3-year-old orphans. That doesn't sound very tough to me.
You're a liar. You're a sick man. You're not fooling me. You know, you can fool all of America, but you can't fool me for 1 second, Barry. Your argument is so fallacious, it is almost not even worth responding to. First of all, you're lying when you say that they're all 3-year-old orphans. 95% of them are men of military age. You liar, you know that. You're working for the enemy. Number two, Barry, you say that we're worried about widows. Do you know who blew up the police dog, that heroic police dog, in that raid last night? It was a woman from Syria or from some other Muslim hellhole. That's right. She was wearing a burqa. Underneath, she was hiding a suicide vest. And, of course, she set off the suicide vest, and she killed the police dog as the French police went in there to get them before they killed people at Charles de Gaulle Airport in a mall. A heroic police dog named Diesel, killed in the police terror raid targeting that piece of vermin from Morocco, who allegedly they got. And she was a woman. She killed a dog. And so Obama says that we're not... We shouldn't be worried about women and orphans. The 7-year-old Belgian Shepherd dog, Malinois, was killed by terrorists when French special forces raided an apartment building in the Saint-Denis early on Wednesday morning. A Twitter user who paid tribute to the dog, Diesel, said he had died to defend our colors, while one police analyst said it was a little like losing one of our colleagues. Well, that's only part of the story. But let me tell you something, there's a lot more to the story than that. And the reason we're saluting the Russians today is Putin is sending 150,000 soldiers to Syria to wipe out the subhumans in the Islamic State.
150,000 Russian soldiers. And suddenly you will see all of the brave men who rape 8-year-old girls, the brave men who pose on social welfare sites with the weaponry that is given to them by these vermin. You'll see them flee like the rats that they are as the Russians go in. And let me tell you something that you don't know. The Russians are not going to be followed by Jake Tapwater. I can guarantee you that the Russians will not let Jake Tapwater or any of the other boys from America's Brazil of the jungle, called the media, follow them into action. Because unlike America, they're not going to be constrained by rules of engagement, which almost guarantee that our men get killed or shot first. I can guarantee you the Russians will not be followed by Jake Tapwater. They will not be followed by cameras. They will not have helmet cams. They will go in and clean them out. They will kill them, every last one of them. On that pleasant note, I'll take a break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Donald Trump will be with us at 30 after the hour, and we have some very, very good questions for Mr. Trump, all to do with terrorism, by the way. And he'll be with us at about 33 minutes after the hour. Here are the headlines on michaelsavage.com. Paris terrorists caught in raid plan to attack airport and mall next. And you'll see one of the brave terrorists with his behind showing. I'm sure that he will sue the French for violating his religion by marching him out with his pants off. Well, that's a violation of his culture and religion right there. You can't show a terrorist behind. Apparently, that's a violation of their religion. I guess they can't go to heaven if at any time they're shown naked to the world. Here, a police dog killed by woman suicide bomber. America's enemies within. How nearly 70 have been arrested in America over ISIS plots. Thank our intelligence agencies for that. A dance of death in the West. Holland says ISIS threatens the whole world and needs to be annihilated. If you want to see what they look like, take a look at the faces of evil from the London Express. Take a look at their faces and then look around your neighborhood and ask yourself if you need more faces like those in your neighborhood or those like these subhumans that were caught on the raid. By the way, the Muslim bomber was a big pothead, according to his ex-wife. He sat in his apartment and smoked dope all day long. Now, something on that I want to mention that I've mentioned over the years that nobody seems to remember in the media. You know the word assassin, of course. You know where the word assassin derives from? Do you know what hashish and assassin have in common? Did you know that most assassins in the Middle East did use and continue to use hashish before involving themselves in these subhuman events where they become dehumanized themselves from the hashish? Did you know that marijuana and hashish dehumanize you? Which is why Harvey Weinstein, Katzenberg, and others continue to show marijuana as a healthy herb for you to use. Do you understand that marijuana dehumanizes you? Do you understand that the word hashish and assassin derive from the same root word? Do you understand that assassins to this day still smoke dope before going out on one of their sick missions? Think about that the next time you think you're just having a J. Because you're not just having a J, you're killing your soul. Black eye for Black Lives hate mongers. Did you see that story? Did you see their hashtag, F Paris? Because the babies, the crybabies in the Black Lives Matter movement were upset that the world was paying attention to real victims. Next story from the New York Post on the Savage Nation. Are you ready for this one? The death of the West, Charlie Clean. After his HIV diagnosis, Charlie Clean spent $1.6 million on hookers. Now you know why he had such a hit on television. Now you know why the media extols these people, because they're one and the same. Muslim congressman defends Muslim Syrian refugees' First Amendment rights, even though they're not citizens, just as we expected from a Muslim congressman. Representative Keith Ellison defends the Muslim Syrian refugees, saying they have First Amendment rights. How could they have rights if they're not here yet? Well, the answer is, as you well know, when you are a co-religionist, you put your religion ahead of your nation. asked about his reaction to proposals from lawmakers, such as Republican presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz, to block Muslim Syrian refugees as a precaution against allowing Islamic State terrorists into the country. Ellison said that he had a simple response. I say Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The Minnesota Muslim Democrat said on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks. So he used one of our laws as a Trojan horse to bring more of them in. Now, of course, most of them won't be suicide bombers or terrorists. We know that. But let me ask you good liberals a question. What if only a small percentage of them turn out to be such? Would you then say that the person responsible for the deaths that result should be arrested? See, I think Ellison should sign a paper that says, I guarantee that none of these Muslim refugees will wind up committing terrorism in America. And if they do, I'll take personal responsibility for it. I'll put up my house, I'll put up my car, I'll put up anything else I own as collateral against such future damage in a fund for any Americans harmed by any of these wonderful, wonderful fellow travelers of mine, or shall I say co-religionists of mine. And I think the same should apply to any one of the other bleeding heart liberals who want the Muslims from Syria to come in here. Put up a piece of collateral and put it into a national fund that shall be used for those victims should they occur. How's that for an idea? I think it's a fine idea. Give me your tired, your poor, and your bomb maker. That should be the new inscription on Obama's Statue of Disliberty. Give me your tired, your poor, and your bomb maker. That should be a new plaque attached to the Statue of Disliberty, erected somewhere in Washington, D.C. Remember, Government Zero warned you about this. No borders, no language, no culture. Read all about President Zero's plans.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
And of course, there is a new President of the Savage States of America, and that is Donald Trump, who joins us now. Somewhere in America. Donald, thank you very much for being with us, and welcome back to the Savage Nation. My audience loves you.
It is so good to be back with you, always, always.
Donald, I know you have very little time. I'm going to get right to four questions. One, what would you do right now to stop ISIS if you were president?
I would hit them so hard that you wouldn't even believe it. We would hit them every which way. We have to demean. You know, there has to be a demeaning. Like, I watched today where all the networks are calling this wise guy a mastermind, the mastermind behind the attack. What's the mastermind? They walk into a place, nobody has guns. They walk into a place, they shoot everybody. He's a mastermind. We have to demean these people. We can't call people masterminds when they're savages. They're just savage, to use a very familiar term.
That's traumatic for me.
I don't want to be associated with it.
No, I get it, but I agree with you 100%. In World War II, we had a propaganda campaign against Nazis and the Japanese. We demeaned them. We humiliated them with propaganda. Instead, we have vermin in the media who glorify them. Topic two, Mr. Trump, when you are president, would you deport all the Muslim refugees that Obama is rushing into America?
Well, you know, I said that 4 weeks ago. I said, if they come, I'm just putting everybody on notice that if they come, they are going to be deported. Now, it's a very sad thing, and I have a bigger heart than any of them, but we have no choice. We can't. We're a country that has nothing but problems, including $19 trillion in debt. We have nothing but problems. I said, if they come, they will go back if I win. Now, we should build a safe zone along with everybody else. You know, the Gulf states aren't putting up anything. You look at the money they make with the oil and everything else. They don't take anybody. They don't put up any money. They said, why should they when the dumb United States and other countries will do it? Look at what she's done to Germany. So I would hit them so hard. And don't forget, on your show last time, I said, and I've been saying it for 2 years, hit the oil, right? I always said, I actually said hit the oil and take it. But
right.
Hit the oil, because you take away their wealth, And that's where they get a lot of their money, the oil that they took over, that we gave them when we left. You know, when we left, we gave them so much. It's just not only military, but we gave them everything. So I said, hit the oil. Now, about 2 days ago, they started hitting the oil. Does anybody say thank you, Donald? Nobody. I've been the only one. I was taking abuse. They said, oh, that's such a horrible thing to say. But now they're hitting the oil.
Donald, let me ask you something. This is a tough, here is a tough question, but I've been covering it for days because I'm convinced I have my own conclusions. I want yours. What do you think is Obama's real reason for flooding America with Muslims from Syria right now when 30 states say no?
Well, you know, it's hard to imagine, and obviously some people think it's evil intentions. I think personally it's incompetence, but, you know, regardless, a lot of people think it's evil intentions. Do you know if you're a Christian, and this is before this problem, if you were a Christian in Syria, it was virtually impossible to come into our country. If you were a Muslim in Syria, it was one of the easiest ways to come into the United States. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
I know. You know that there was a Syrian Christian family in San Diego that was already here with relatives, and he deported them about 3 weeks ago?
If you're a Christian, it's very hard to get into this country, and if you are a Muslim, it's very easy. And if you come from Syria being a Muslim, now, if you think of it, if you're president, the Christians are having their heads cut off, and those people found it almost impossible. I mean, it's not me saying it. Statistically, very, very hard for a Christian from Syria to get in before this whole big mess that we have right now.
Donald, on the campaign trail, you took a lot of heat recently for attacking Carson. I criticized you on the show saying I still support you for two reasons, and I don't want to go backwards. I'd rather go forwards. Do you think that in the future all Republican candidates should agree to attack Hillary and Obama, not each other, during future debates? Wouldn't that be wise?
You, Mike, I know what you said. I know you and I have had a great relationship, but at some point, you know, I have to lay out facts. I mean, I have to lay out facts. I'm doing very well in the polls, as you know, and I'm number one. But he's sort of number two. I think he's losing a lot of steam, if you want to know the truth, because if you look at front page of many newspapers today, he had a very bad week because he's having a hard time learning anything about foreign policy, which you don't want, Michael, and I don't. But all I did last week was quote things in his book because he said he has pathological disease and a lot of other things. And you
know, yeah, but it was so brutal. I mean, you must have been a heck of a street fighter in Queens because you know how to get a guy on the ground and really let him have it, Donald. What I'm saying is a lot of people love you and they really like him. They're not going to vote for him. They want you to win. I personally think that on a campaign, in front of these people in the media, you shouldn't fall into their trap and always turn the question back to Hillary's failures as Secretary of State. You know that she created this mess in the world through her Arab Spring. You know that by bringing down Gaddafi and killing him when he said don't do it because it'll create chaos and you'll have refugees pouring into Europe. She owns this problem, and yet it never comes up during the debates, Donald.
The world blew up around her. She was a terrible Secretary of State, maybe the worst ever, but I have to beat 15 people. Now, Jindal left, as you saw. You know, he had zero. But Jindal is gone. So, you know, I have to win before I can get to her. Believe me, I think she's going to be easy. She has such a bad record. I think she's going to be easy.
I love it.
You know, but you have to get there first. We have 15 people in a race, and we have to get there first. And one by one, they whittle down. But all I did is hit Carson on things that he said in his book. Now, he wrote the book before he was running for office, I guess, but it was pretty bad stuff that he wrote in the book. But I understand. A couple of other people, they said, you don't have to say that. But I felt I had to get the word out because people didn't know. I mean, they didn't know. So,
you know, I thought that after I criticized you on air, and I did it as delicately as I could, that I wouldn't be eating lettuce at Mar-a-Lago ever again. But I'm glad to see that you're a bigger man than I am, and you came back on the show, because you can take criticism. And by the way, that's more than most politicians are willing to do, Donald. You know, and I know, that most politicians are so thin-skinned, that if you dare say one word about them that they don't agree with, they excommunicate you, and you did not do that with me. I got to tell you that.
No, I, you know, look, I understand that you were unhappy about that, but you know, your show's always been good. You've always been good to me, other than the last couple of weeks. You didn't like what I said. But at some point, hey, why, are you a non-competitive person? You wouldn't do it. You would have done it five times worse than I did it, okay?
Well, if I were in your place and I had a chance to knock Carson, I think that what gets you about Carson is that he acts like such a knight. I think what was getting your goat, looking back, knowing kind of a little bit more about you as you've evolved on the campaign trail, is that you didn't like him getting away with it. He's such a nice guy and so sort of unaggressive, when under the surface you're saying there's a monster lurking under the surface. Was that sort of what it was?
He's got some deficiencies, and they're pretty big, and I wanted to let him know. And you understand that. You would have been worse than me, I'm telling you, okay? I know you too well, Michael. You know, you're trying to be like this nice guy. Don't hit. Since when don't you hit people hard? You know... If you hit people hard, your show wouldn't be the success it is either. So always good to do your show. You know that.
Well, are you going to be in Florida this winter for Christmas? I know you're normally there, but this is a different year. You think you're going to get down there?
All over. You know where I'm going now? Massachusetts. And then I'm going to Iowa. Then I'm going to New Hampshire. Then I'm going to South Carolina. I'm all over the place. I'm going.
Where do you get the energy from? How do you do this? You know, over the years that I've been in radio, people have said run for office. I don't have the energy for it. I can do this show. How do you do it? Is it the meatloaf? What is it?
I don't know. I've asked that question all the time, and where do you get it? And I guess I can only say from my mother and my father. You know, they've had a lot of energy, and that's the only thing I can think of. Because I do have a schedule that a lot of people, even I have these young people traveling with me, secure, they can't handle it. I mean, you know, after...
tell me about it. I know all about it. My staff would agree with that one. No, but I happen to know that you like meatloaf. I know it's on your menu. It's called Donald's favorite dish. It must be your diet, Donald.
That's true. Well, I have meatloaf. I like the basics. I like the basics in life. But we're going to have a great... So I'm going to New Hampshire. And literally, as soon as I finish this call, I'm going up to Massachusetts and then to New Hampshire. And, you know, look, I'm having a good time doing it. You know what I'm seeing, Mike? I'm seeing tremendous love. People want to see the country come back. They're so tired of losing. We never win anymore. If you think of it, do we ever win? We lose on trade. We lose on ISIS. We lose on the Iran deal. We never win.
No, when you have a loser in the White House, you lose on everything. Look, Donald, this is the thing. We know that you're going to win the Republican campaign, or whatever it's called, and you're going to debate Hillary. Do you feel that you can really get to her no matter, because you know it's going to be stacked against you. Do you feel you can defeat her in the final series of debates?
Republican, but you know, numbers are coming out where I'm beating her in all these states. They just had 3 or 4 states come out just today where I'm beating her in all the states. I mean, I'm doing really well against her individually. I'm doing well against the field, the Republican field, which I have to beat in all fairness. I have to beat the Republican field. Unfortunately, I have to beat them first before I get to her. But I'm doing really well. I'm leading in every poll, leading in just about every state. I think every state. So we're going to, you know, keep your head down because it's still a long way to go. Not so long, though. You know, it was a year. And now there were 6 months, and now it's literally less than 90 days before you get to Iowa.
And Donald, last question. We learned this morning that Russia is sending in 150,000 brave Russian troops to crush them like bugs. How do you feel about that?
I think that Russia has been amazing in what they're doing because they're fighting to win. They're fighting to win. And if you remember what I said 2 weeks ago, I said, look, if Russia wants to bomb ISIS, let them. We had these people, these stupid people that said, oh, well, we want to take the lead. Who the hell cares who takes the lead? Let them spend their money. They've got bogged down in Afghanistan. They got bogged down before. It broke up this. You know, people don't realize. Broke up the Soviet Union, okay?
Yep.
They got so far down there. That's what happened to the Soviet. They ran out of money. Let them go and bomb. I think it's wonderful that they bomb ISIS, and it's great. And now it turned out I was right. You know, I was 100% right. But let them. You know, when they knocked down the Russian aircraft, that was a mistake, I want to tell you, because he's not fighting a war the way Obama fights the war. You know, little pinpricks. He is really bombing the hell out of them. So,
Donald, before you go, I've got to give you something for the campaign trail because I do this for a living. We read the other day that the U.S. bombed 118 ISIS fuel trucks, and I said, great, there's been a change finally from Obama. But then I read the fine print. Do you know that he made the Air Force drop leaflets telling the ISIS truck drivers to get out that bombs were going to fall? Did you know that? Does anyone know that he did that?
No, I'd never heard that. I think, I don't look.
What? I'm going to send you the, Donald, I got to send you the article because this is something for your campaign trail. this is going to make people think twice about this guy. This is not as clear as it may be of he's just a pacifist or a liberal. There's something more here, Donald. At least we in the talk radio sphere see that. I won't take up any more of your time other than to say, go, Donald, go. We're behind you 100%, and we hope that you go all the way.
I will, and I'll do my best, and hopefully I'll get it there, and you'll be very proud of me. I'll tell you what, we will have lots of victories together, but we're going to have lots of victories, that I can tell you.
Thank you, Donald Trump. Good luck. God be with you. The time is 46 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, I asked Mr. Trump four questions. If you missed it, you'll probably catch it a little later. What would you do right now to stop ISIS if you were president? When you are president, will you deport all of the Muslim refugees that Obama's bringing in? What is Obama's real reason for flooding America with Muslims right now when 30 states say no? And then I said, you took a lot of heat for attacking Carson. Don't you think all the Republican candidates should agree to attack Hillary, not each other, during future debates? I thought it was a very good and very pointed interview, and I'd like to hear your opinion of the Donald Trump interview for a few minutes. Joyce on WMAL, fire away. What's on your mind?
I want to tell you that I appreciate your talking with him about attacking Carson. We are for Donald Trump, but we also like Dr. Carson, and I feel like that if Trump is elected, that he will put Dr. Carson in a position. But when it comes to the talking with Hillary, they're going to face these things again.
Yes, I agree with you. Thank you very much for that. Right, I like Donald Trump more than all of them. And the other guys, there's not one of them who wouldn't be a better president than Hillary and Bill Clinton. Not any one of them up there, with the exception perhaps of Jeb Bush, would not make a better president. Does that make sense to you? Any Republican would be a better president than Hillary, except Jeb Bush, who's no different than Hillary. That's a clear statement. But I like Donald's response to me when he said, I know you were unhappy with what I said about Carson. Apparently everything gets back to him, right? But he was a big enough man to come on the show and not say, screw him, I'm never coming on that show. Let Savage go, you know where. He didn't do that. Now I gotta tell you something. I've been in the business 21 years. Ted Cruz won't come on the show. Carson won't come on the show. None of the others will come on the show. They don't have the guts to face me or the American people through the Savage Nation. Donald Trump does, even though I was critical of his attacks on Carson. That tells you more about Donald Trump than you already knew, and it is newsmaking, by the way. It's news that he'll come on a show where a host criticized them. Can you name one other host who criticized the candidate, and then the candidate then went on a show? I can't name that person. But having said that, I'll say something else. He really caught me off guard, Donald, when he said, you would have been, he said, if you were up there, you would have been tougher. No, he said, you're competitive, I'm competitive. He said, you know and I know that if you were up there instead of me, you would have attacked Carson probably more viciously than I did. I have to admit he's right. I mean, if I were up there fighting to win and to be preeminent over the other people in the pack, I probably would have gone after him tooth and claw. That's the nature of the human being. If we're competitive, right? Tell me what field people don't compete in. Take a look at that. Take a look at the female martial artist, what happened last week. You remember that with Russi, whatever her name was? The first, is it Diane Russi? She was the odds-on favorite, and the other girl caught her with a kick to the neck that knocked her out in the second round? You talk about competition? A swift kick to the neck in a match like that ended the match immediately. Well, that's the way competition works. And right now ISIS is kicking us not only in the neck, but kicking us in our genitals. And you know what we have going back? Slaps. Oh, stop kicking us in the you-know-where, please, Mr. ISIS, as he backslaps them. Backslaps them, that's all he's doing. And now Russia's sending in 150,000 brave warriors to do what needs to be done. And as I said before, Jake Tapwater is not going to be in the pack in a fatigue jacket following him with a handy cam. No, my friends, there's going to be no body cams on the Russian special forces as they kick indoors and throw in the grenades. You will not be seeing it on CNN tonight. This is the Savage Nation. another 2 hours. Be here or be nowhere to learn more about Government Zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
ISIL seeks to exploit the idea that there is a war between Islam and the West. And when you start seeing individuals in positions of responsibility suggesting that Christians are more worthy of protection than Muslims are in a war-torn land, that feeds the ISIL narrative. It's counterproductive. And it needs to stop.
Sounds like Frito. I think we should play the Frito soundbite, because this is Frito lying through his teeth, because he is actually saying that Muslims are more worthy of protection than Christians in a war-torn land. And that feeds the paranoia narrative that he's working for the enemy. So let's hold it. Listen to what preceded this from Barry Soetro in clip number 2, and then we'll go to Frito.
When candidates say we wouldn't admit 3-year-old orphans, that's political posturing. When individuals say that we should have a religious test and that only Christians, proven Christians, should be admitted, that's offensive and contrary to American values.
Yeah,
I cannot think of a more more potent recruitment tool for ISIL than some of the rhetoric that's been coming out of here during the course of this debate.
Send Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things, I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb, I'm smart, and I want the specs.
So we didn't elect Sonny, we didn't elect Michael, we elected Frito. But in this case, Frito had a deep voice. He didn't sound like he was missing one, you know what. He was Frito with a deep, booming voice, and you fell for the trap. We've heard of a honey trap, haven't we? What would you call Obama's trap? His booming voice is his single greatest attribute. And you were taken in by his voice, weren't you? But underneath it all, there's Frito. It's not Sonny, the war leader. It's not Michael, the calculating leader of the family. It's the weak son that we elected in this Shakespearean drama. Now, if this were just a movie, it would be amusing and we could move beyond it. But people are now dying because of him. And to top it off, he's importing Syrian Muslim refugees who are not primarily orphans and women, but primarily men of military age. So he's a liar on three accounts. That's number one. Now, one of the big lies that's being put out by the illegitimate left is, of course, about the Jews. And we have to go into that. Today, of course, as you'd expect, I was waiting for this to happen. I knew that the day would come, and it came today. The so-called Washington Post put out an article saying that what's going on against the Syrians is identical to the negative attitudes being expressed towards Syrian refugees today. That's put out by the liberals at the Washington Post. And they dug back, and they found sentiments that support their lying position. And they showed a survey from the Gallup poll of 1938, which said that the refugees who were then Jewish were being seen in the same way that the Syrian refugees are being said today. Now, of course, you know this is a fallacious analysis, as you would expect from people with an optic chiasma that's damaged. And the Post's Dana Milbank, whoever that is, put out the same fetid argument that the Republicans are creating a xenophobic bidding war in their efforts to keep refugees out. And then once again, they bring in the Jews. But let me tell you something. To compare the two situations is not only ludicrous, it's mentally unbalanced. I didn't read anything about Jews in the 1930s planning a jihad against the West. I didn't read anything about the Jews in the 1930s secretly plotting to kill innocent people in the streets or at sporting events or on ships at concert venues. You know it's a false equivalency. You know that this is the stock and trade of illegitimacy. And you know that the liberals are lying through their teeth once again. Of course, there's a degree of truth in this fallacious argument. Of course, there's going to be bigotry in any group that wants to oppose the importation of refugees. But by and large, they're forgetting the big situation. Is that we are a Judeo-Christian society. We are not a Muslim Judeo-Christian society. This is not a Muslim Christian society. There's a great incompatibility between Muslims and Christians. Just understand that's a reality. If you don't understand it, then learn a little bit more about what I'm saying. Are there some racists among those saying no asylum? Sure, almost certainly so. But the vast majority of Americans who are opposed to Muslims being brought in from Syria and Iraq are really not concerned with the religion or the ethnicity of the refugees. It's not being able to know whether they're coming here to harm us or not, and common sense would dictate that you don't bring them in a time like this. That's the opening to hour number two of The Savage Nation. I also had Donald Trump on in the last hour. Many people want to comment on that interview. Phone number here is 855-400-7282. Nick on WFTL in Florida. Go ahead, please. You're the first up this hour.
Michael, that was a brilliant interview. And coming from a military and police family, I'm a retired police sergeant. I was so impressed. And I did dignitary protection for Trump at events. Not him specifically, but the people who were there. A lot of, you know, high caliber people that were at these functions at the Waldorf and so forth, at those venues. And he's going to win. He's going to win by a landslide. But the media will never admit this, of course, never.
Oh, no, I'm sure that if there was an election today, he'd win like 75 to 25 against Hillary. America is dying for a strong man. They're sick and tired of her corruption. They're sick and tired of the fact that she caused this refugee crisis with her insane Arab Spring concept, and she is doubling down on it. No one's calling her on it. Would you expect Jake Tapwater to call her on it? That fraud? That fraud in the media? The frauds in the media won't call her on it. Instead, they save their worst rhetoric for the American people themselves.
Correct.
Well, I'm glad you heard the interview. It was an important one because I frankly didn't think Donald would ever come back on the show when I dared criticize him about the comments about whatever his name is. I forget his name. Carson. And he did. I'm sending you a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it. What's the book you're getting for Thanksgiving?
Government Zero.
You got it. Only under one condition, that you put it out with the turkey. And I mean after the oven, not before the oven.
Of course.
You got to put it out on a Thanksgiving table, so when you get your crackpot liberal relatives there, you don't even have to say anything. They may say, "What's that?" And say, "That's a best-selling book right now, and I'd like to discuss some of the damage that the Democrat liberals have done to this country." Thank you. Stay on the line. There was one question I asked him that I didn't get a real answer to, and that was, what is Obama's real reason for flooding America with Muslims right now when so many states are saying no? He did not go where I wanted him to go, nor did I expect him to go during a radio interview that could be used against him. The president is not only dividing the country over terrorism, his response to the Paris attacks are the opposite of what you'd expect from a commander-in-chief whose sole job, number one job, is to protect his people. This man is clearly not protecting the American people. Because even if there's even a slight or remote chance that amongst these refugees there will be bombers, the logical conclusion is that at a time like this, we're not bringing them in. We're going to build a safe haven for them in Syria. We're going to cordon it off. We're going to protect it with UN troops who have nothing to do. My idea from over a month and a half ago. And we're not bringing them in here. Makes no sense. Is Obama crazy? Is he stupid? Is he locked into his doxy so sufficient that he can't even see beyond his doxy? All of those things are probably true. after what happened in Paris to bring in Muslim refugees is insanity. 855-407-282. Is Obama a sleeper himself? Well, he may be asleep, but I don't know that he's a sleeper. We know that Germany has a worst lady. We have a so-called first lady, but they have a worst lady, W-U-R-S-T. Just a little pun intended there. Yes, Merkel's become a worst lady. Spell it whichever way you wish in English. She is really a worst lady. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com.
These are the same folks oftentimes who suggest that they're so tough that just talking to Putin or staring down ISIL or using some additional rhetoric somehow is going to solve the problems out there. But apparently they're scared of widows and orphans coming into the United States of America as part of our tradition of compassion. At first they were worried about the press being too tough on them during debates.
You know,
now they're
at a certain point, his lowness becomes so low that it's embarrassing even to be a Democrat. Isn't there no Democrat out there who sees the man for who he is now at a time of real pressure? Can you not see what this man actually is? Is this presidential? When the whole world is laughing at him, the whole world sees that we have a king who has no clothes, that every country is stepping up to fight back except us. The man is an embarrassment, which is why Trump is the only chance we have. If Trump does not win, the country is over. If we get that corrupt lady from wherever she's really from, questionable where she's really from, I don't know where she's from. But if we get that corrupt lady in the White House, forget about it. You should pack your bags. Amelia on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. I can't tell you how excited, how I've been praying that you would be able to speak to Donald Trump again, because I value your opinions and everything that you say, and obviously he does too, because he called and you spoke with him and you kind of mentored him, and I pray that he does win, because he's the only one that sticks up for the American people.
Were you afraid that he wouldn't come on again after I criticized him for what he said about Carson?
I think that was fantastic. And to show that he was very, he still took
yes,
it so
and
well.
Amelia, this is a news-making interview because there is not one other example in the American media today of a major league candidate who will go back on a radio show after the host criticized him on air. Do you know that?
Know that. And you know what? It goes to show that he values your opinion just like everybody
else. Yes, not only that, but he also has the guts to come back on the show, and he's not thin-skinned. It shows that he has real leadership qualities.
Absolutely.
It means he can take criticism. We learned that Donald Trump can take criticism. We learned that he's not vindictive. We also learned that he's willing to listen to a talk show host. We learned three things today. That's a major league thing in this campaign. Can you tell me, give me one example of a candidate, excuse me, of a news show or talk show that if they criticized Hillary Clinton, she'd ever go on that show again?
No.
Can you name a situation like that? Can you name one liberal who'd ever criticize her at any point? Never, because she'd never go back on the show. Can you name one liberal news outlet that ever criticized Obama? Never. 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 So Trump is a real American. Trump is willing to get down and argue with people, take criticism. He would be the greatest president this country has ever had. He would outdo Ronald Reagan, by the way.
He speaks for all of us, and I'm so happy that he's in this race. I really am. I really pray that he wins and does us justice, because we need somebody.
You're right, Amelia. Amelia, are you cooking for Thanksgiving, or are you going out?
No, actually, I'm going to my daughter's.
Where? What city? You're in New York? Where does she live?
River, New Jersey.
And what do you have, like, at Thanksgiving? How many people?
We're going to have about 10 people.
Wow, you're very lucky. My family is scattered all over the country. It's not like when my mother was alive. We'd have 20 people in a little house in Queens. And the minute you walked in, there was food falling off the tables. I mean, she knew how to put it, you know. I envy you. I really do. Are all of them liberals that you're going to, Amelia?
I'm sorry?
How many of them are liberals amongst the people, the 10 are going to be there?
I have to say, maybe two.
And what, the women or men? Men or women? Are they like a Bernie Sanders type liberal or what?
They're for Obama, and I cannot. Well, my God, they drive me crazy. I can't stand it when they even breathe his words. But yes,
If I give you a copy of Government Zero, which I'm going to do, would you show it to them?
Absolutely. Oh my God, I'm so honored. Thank you.
No, but you got to understand, they're going to look at you like, what are you kidding? To them, it's like Mein Kampf. If you showed them Government Zero, they'd see a swastika on the cover. That's how sick they are.
Oh, no. You know what? I don't understand. You know, I often say, I hate when he says, I'm speaking for the American people. Well, I'm an American, and I hate it because you're...
Oh, you mean when Obama says it's not American values to not want refugees who amongst whom you'll know they'll be terrorists now or in the future? That's not an American value to want to live? Tell me what nation doesn't have a value of survival?
You're right.
All right, I'm sending you the book. Amelia, just bring it to the dinner. I can't wait for after Thanksgiving when all people call in and say, Mike, here's what happened when I showed the book. I want to hear the discussions. That's going to be fun. All right, my friends, why is Obama bringing in Syrian Muslim refugees, mainly military-age men? They're not mainly infants and no women. You know that he's a liar. Did you hear the big lie? Did you hear this big lie that they're all women and orphans? Three-year-old orphans? Have you seen the pictures of them? They look like battle-hardened military veterans who threw away their uniforms to get into the country. Oh, yeah. You think it's rhetoric? You didn't see the story, the breaking news? I didn't get to it before Donald came on. Syrians with stolen passports caught trying to enter U.S. in Honduras. Police in Honduras caught five Syrians with stolen passports who were trying to make their way to the United States. Even the Hondurans are tougher on the Syrian emigres than is Obama. He has opened the door. He's kicked our doors in. He said, come on in. I don't care what happens to the American people. You can blame Catholic charities. You can blame Lutheran Family Services. You can blame Baptist Family Services. Because in my opinion, they're no better than the coyotes who were used to smuggle people through the American border. Can you tell me the difference between human smugglers and these front groups for religions who are making billions of dollars off these refugees and they're wrapping it in the guise of humanitarianism? Tell me the difference if you can. You know, a couple of books ago, I said, stop the coming civil war. And I said to you that Obama's been engaged in a civil war against civil society long before he was foisted upon us by the secret hands behind this amazing, amazing situation that we're in. And now the whole world finally recognizes the danger to their societies from Muslims. I mean, in plain English, I can't mince words anymore, because amongst the good ones, there's some bad ones. At a time like this, you don't bring in refugees. You let it all sort itself out. You get rid of ISIS. Then you even ask yourself, why do we need to bring in refugees at all? I mean, but you don't foist them upon a people that's opposed to it. And yet they continue the big lie. They continue to double down on their double talk. They're saying that they're mainly women and children. The exact opposite is true. Every study has shown that majority of Syrian refugees that Obama is rushing through the gates are single men of military age, and yet they keep lying that they're women and children. Listen to clip 8 from the great head of the Department of Homeland Security, this strange man, a former corporate lawyer from Wall Street, by the way, Jeh Johnson, in clip 8.
Syrian refugees, for the most part, the ones who we have admitted are women and children. They are the principal victims of the violence that is occurring in that part of the world.
I would hope that Jeb Johnson and every other official in this corrupt administration be required by an act of Congress to put up a personal surety bond, collateral in other words, of a house, something in value of $1 million or more, that would go into a fund that will be used for the victims of terrorism should such victims occur somewhere down the line from any of the, quote, innocent refugees that they're bringing in. I hear the applause. Savage, once again, you're ahead of the pack. Savage, you came up with a great idea. If they're so convinced that they're all safe and wonderful and wholesome, clean as the driven snow, as it were, then I ask each of these wonderful government officials who are just certain, to a 100th degree of certainty, 100% of certainty, that all of them are innocent, they will not harm us, that they put up collateral for a victims fund, a future victims fund. And should none of these refugees conduct an act of terror within, let's say, a time period of 10 years, they get their money back with interest. See, the fund would earn interest. The collateral will earn interest. Then Jed Johnson, the corporate attorney from Wall Street, who is so sure of these things, even the president should put up some collateral. He's a rich man. He could write a book and get a $20 million advance. Put up the advance of a future book on this fund for innocent victims of these refugees should they occur. Is that irrational? Now, why am I so sure that we're going to have a terrorist attack from amongst the refugees? Why? Because the law of averages would tell us that it's going to happen. The law of average would say that amongst these innocent refugees, there's going to be some bad apples, and they're going to hurt some American people. Here's the King of Jordan, who's a very intelligent man at Clip 9. Listen to what he has to say.
We are facing a third world war against humanity, and this is what brings us all together. This is a war, as I've said repeatedly, within Islam. And unfortunately, over 100,000 Muslims have been murdered by Daesh alone over the past 2 years. And that doesn't also count for the atrocities that like-minded groups have also done in Africa and Asia. So therefore, we must act fast and holistically to tackle and respond to the interconnected threats, whether it is in this region, Africa, Asia, or in Europe.
Wouldn't you wish that even the King of Jordan were the President of the United States? Don't you hear in his voice intelligence, reason, logic? And what do you hear in the voice of Obama and his henchmen? Do you hear logic? Do you hear reason? I don't hear logic or reason. I hear hatred and deceit. I hear hatred and deceit. I see government zero everywhere. What do I mean by government zero? It means a government unto itself. A government unto itself. No representation for the American people. An article just came out in the Drudge Report that a governor of Tennessee, was it the governor of Tennessee? No, a lawmaker in Tennessee wants to put the National Guard to stop the refugees. Activate guard to stop refugees. Don't let them into the state. Bring them back to ICE. Do not let any of them into the state. Tennessee GOP leader, round up Syrian refugees, remove them from the state. They're not coming to Tennessee, they're yours. He said, take them back to the ICE center and say, they're not coming to Tennessee, they're yours. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Instead, we have Moonbeam in California saying, give us your tired, your poor, and your possible suicide bombers, because we need the votes. There's more. It gets even worse, but I don't know how much of this you can take. I personally can't sleep these days. I'm having a rough time. I mean, I sleep, but then I think about this, and the only question that keeps going back and forth in my mind, and it's the pregnant question. There's only one question in my mind. How would you stop it, Michael, if you had the power? And there really is only one answer. And the one answer is not going to happen. You know what the one answer is. There's only one answer to stop a future terrorist attack in America. You know the answer, right? There's only one answer. And we know we can't do it. We cannot do what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. Those days are over. You can't do that. You can't inter an entire population based on religion or race, can you? That's what FDR did, the good liberal Democrat. We can't do that. Those were the horrible dark days when liberal Democrats did things like that. Today they bend over backwards to make sure that nothing like that is ever done again. Now, look, even if you look back upon the Japanese internment, which we've heard about over and over and over again, there was a reason FDR interred the Japanese in America. As dark a period as that was in American history, he did it for a reason, the liberal Democrat. You know what that reason was? He had evidence that there were Japanese Americans, a very small number of them, a small minority of them, who were actively working with Japanese intelligence against our national security interests. And he could not chance that they would help saboteurs or help in thwarting our war effort. And that's why many innocent Japanese had to be scooped up in that dragnet. in order to make sure that in that dragnet they got those who might harm us. That's why FDR did it. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting we do that now, nor am I suggesting that that could ever be done again. No, that's not. You don't put the survival of the people above your liberal or humanitarian instincts. You put your humanitarian instincts above everything else. You put your political philosophy above survival itself. And you use the liberal credo that I've heard ever since I'm a little boy. I would rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man be arrested. That's liberal logic for you. That's until a bomb winds up in their kitchen. And so we face almost an impossible situation, particularly when we have such a loose-minded individual in the White House. This is very hard to sleep these nights. Are you having trouble sleeping? Is anyone else being kept awake by this war that's going on against us? I love Obama says it's not a war. King of Jordan says it's a war. Russia says it's a war. France says it's a war, but not him. Oh, no, he's above it all. He's in the clouds. No, there's no war for President Zero. No, no, it's just a few nuts. Few loose screws who all happen to be united by a religion. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a student of history, and I do know the difference between these idiots, these maniacs, these homicidal maniacs, and those who practice classical Islam, and there is a big difference. Trust me, I know history. Trust me, I know the difference between classical Islam, as practiced by the King of Jordan, for example, and these crazy, insane 7th century throwbacks, these subhumans, as it were. But you have to ask yourself, are you not afraid that your government isn't going to protect you? I mean, that's the only question I'm raising today. Do you actually think your government can protect you from these crazy people, these evil people, these hateful Muslims? Do you think that they can protect you? Because I know they can't. I know that they've tied the hands of our Air Force, our Navy, our Marines, our Special Forces. They've tied the hands of our police. They've tied the hands of our border agents. They have literally tied the hands of every American. And so we, the people, are facing down the barrel of a gun. And we don't know what to do about it. Now, I got to tell you something else. This terrible thing that happened in Paris was a huge mistake for these throwbacks. Because had they not done that, they were on the road to conquering France simply by their birth rate, their demographics. They could have taken over all of France were it not for these subhumans, because there's nothing human about them. Anyone who would walk into a cafe with a machine gun and execute them is a subhuman. They've fallen below the level of a human being. Anyone who would execute young girls who are at a dance as they're screaming and enjoy the bloodshed is a subhuman. You have to ask yourself, how did they get that way? You really want to analyze this? How do they reach that point? We learned that one of them, the so-called mastermind piece of garbage, according to his ex-wife, they were given 1,000 euros a month to live, I think, in Germany. I'm not sure where. France, wherever they were. And she said there wasn't enough money for them. You hear? He sat home and watched TV all day and smoked marijuana. Now, how did he go from being a slacker loser to becoming a homicidal maniac? What is it that happened in his mind that twisted his mind to enable him to engage in such horrible acts? Where did he get the ideas from? Well, we hear that they're recruited online. What are they told online? What is the justification online for their future acts of terror? The Holy Book itself. What Holy Book? The Old Testament? No. The New Testament? No. The teachings of Buddha? No. The teachings of the Hindus? No. Why, it's the Holy Book itself. They get the ideas right out of the Holy Book. Now, I know that even though the Holy Book that they use to justify their insane and murderous acts contain over 112 references to kill the infidel, I'm sorry to tell you that. Now, I've also been very fair on this subject because I have in my hand a copy of the Old Testament. I've seen the vile hatred in the Old Testament as well. I've said it. I'm saying it for effect. I'm originally a scholar, and I use my scholarly mind to tell you the truth the best I can. So when I pick up the Jewish Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the five books of Moses, I see hatred in there. You go read Leviticus. I've read it over and over again. She's an adulterous killer, a gay killer. This killer, a louse killed a louse. It's amazing, the hatred in Leviticus. Any beast of which you may eat, this and that. Fire and brimstone. But the fact of the matter is, people have evolved beyond this. They don't follow the teachings as though they're literal. I know Orthodox Jews. I don't hear them talking about bombing places where people congregate and do things that they find detestable. They say, let them do it and God will punish them. And I'll do the right thing and they can do the wrong thing. And that's what they do. They live in Sodom and Gomorrah, but they don't hurt anybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they know the difference between the law of the beast and the law of man. And they don't practice what Leviticus says to do to gays and to adulterers, for example. But unfortunately, there are millions and millions of people who take the Quran literally and still follow this 5,000-year-old book, which was then modified, let us say, by their prophet. And they take it literally. And so as a young Muslim woman who's been trying to get the message out has said to the world, only a reformation in Islam can save the world from these madmen. You know that there is no reformation. There's been no reformation in Islam. Jews went through a reformation. Christians have gone through reformations. But there's only one religion that's never been reformed. They're living in another universe, another time. And so let's put a litmus test on the refugees that Obama seems to embrace and tells us they're all women and children. How many of them embrace their holy book as though it's the literal truth? That wouldn't be a bad question, would it? Would that be a bad question to ask during the so-called interview process that they're not conducting? Like, do you read the Quran, yes or no? Do you believe it's the holy truth, yes or no? Do you follow the book to the letter of the law, yes or no? They say yes, would you let them in? Yes or no? I mean, logic? But I unfortunately have no power. I'm only a talk show host and an author. That's all. One man's opinion. Where is the common sense in these people who are running this government zero? Where is there? Where is the common sense amongst any of them? Are they so brainwashed and so evil in their own thinking that they would put party above nation? What a question. Yes, they do it every time in every way. They lie, cheat, and steal any way they can to make sure they have as many Democrat voters so they never lose power again. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. This is the most corrupt administration imaginable. On that pleasant note, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOI. So, are you having trouble sleeping over the terror attacks? Do you fear that your government is not protecting you? Do you know what must be done to protect America? Are any of these questions at all operational in a mind, in an American mind that's filled with people like Howard Stern, sports, strip teasers? Does it even cross your mind that you're in danger when you listen to such ludicrous garbage? Is your hat on backwards? Do you have any idea what's going on in your country? Well, I don't know if the people even know what happened. They're French, man, they say, it ain't going to happen here. We got a real tough guy in the White House. He'll protect us. Let them all in. They're just a bunch of racist white crackers that don't want in people of color. That's all. That's it. Is that what you're going to hear at the Thanksgiving table from your liberal moron relatives? We already heard it today. There's the Washington Post put out the propaganda sheet. Most Americans opposed admitting Jewish refugees before World War II. As if there's a comparison between Einstein and all of the others who were brought into this country and the unvetted refugees coming in from Syria. You're telling me that there's an Einstein amongst them? Who is he? Have you identified him? Have you identified any sterling individuals who this country really needs amongst that pack of Syrians that are coming in? Have you found any of them yet? Have you heard about them? And Einstein, who we wanted to bring in? Or anyone like that? Where are they? Don't you understand how ludicrous this is, that liberalism, the mental disorder, continues to justify itself? Even in the face of obvious failures? another hour. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number three. We made it to the third hour on the Savage Nation. And there's only one question that's on everyone's mind, which is, why is the madman in the White House doubling down on his insistence on shoveling Muslims from the war-torn Syrian landscape down our throats when 30 states have said no, every poll has said no, and yet the liberals keep doubling down with the fallacious arguments that it's our values and humanitarianism. Now they come up with a bigger lie, which is that it's just like the attitude towards Jews in the 1930s. And they come up with a poll from 1938 showing that in exactly the same way, in exactly the same numbers of Americans were opposed to admitting 10,000 Jewish refugees. So, so we're bigots. Right away, the Jewish question comes up immediately. This is the liberals. They go to ground. Every time there's a national issue like this, they go back to ground. And again, they bring up this analogy, which is a false one, by the way. And it's false for a number of reasons. There was no international conspiracy of German Jews in the 1930s to take over the world. There was no conspiracy among German Jews in the 1930s to wear suicide belts. That's one point. Another point is that we are a Judeo-Christian nation. Since its founding, we are not a Muslim-Christian nation. That's number two. No plans of jihad amongst Jews in the 1930s. No secret chats amongst the Jews in the 1930s to machine gun people in cafes, sporting events, concert halls. As you well know, it's a big lie. And again, they're trying to use the victims of the Holocaust to push their illegitimate liberalism. You want to join the conversation on that? Go ahead. Here's another story that's it's very disturbing. I mean, these are disturbing times. Did the U.S. let the mad Muslim kill in Paris? That's my headline. Why? Because a story came out last night that said U.S. intelligence assessed last May that foreshadowed the complex ISIS attacks aimed at the West. An unclassified May 2015 intelligence assessment published by the Department of Homeland Security's intelligence an analysis director warns of ISIS's potential for carrying out complex attacks against Western targets. Wait, and even singles out the man believed to be the mastermind behind last week's terror attacks in Paris. So in other words, the FBI and DHS singled out this vermin, this subhuman. They singled out the subhuman as a dangerous man, and they did nothing about it. So the question it begs the question, did the U.S. let the mad Muslim kill? Huh? If they knew that he was a bad guy who was liable to go off, why didn't they detain him? Which leads us round to the same point I've been making for days. Why is there no preventive attacks right now by the FBI and DHS breaking in doors like they did in France and pulling them out by their filthy scarves before they kill some of us? Why is it that the French finally went and broke doors down and blew up an entire floor of that rat's nest to kill the bad ones and get a few of them out before they blew up Charles de Gaulle Airport or they were going after the Charles de Gaulle Airport or a supermarket? The FBI knows that they're about to strike. Why don't they break down a door and drag them out and throw them into a dark cell and let the ACLU go to hell? Take the ACLU and throw them in the cell with them. And let the ACLU have their friends with them in the cell. Let's see how they treat them. The ACLU boys from NYU and Stanford. Throw them in a cell with the members that they're going to protect. And let them spend a few nights with them. And see how well they're treated. Well, now you know it's not going to happen. just raging against the machine of insanity. That's all I do every day. Yeah, I am lucky I have a podium where I can vent what you're feeling. You know that you're thinking the same as me, even if you won't admit it. You know you're thinking all of these thoughts. Any rational person would be thinking this way. But you're not expressing it because you're afraid. You've been intimidated. You've been bullied. That's right. Liberals are bullies. Did you know that? They've bullied you into not even expressing your own thoughts. They've bullied you. And so if you express common sense about protecting yourself and your family, they bully you. Also, we had Donald Trump on in the first hour. If you missed the interview, too bad. I don't know where you're going to catch it. I asked him, what would you do right now to stop ISIS if you were president? I asked Donald Trump, when you are president, would you deport all of the Muslim refugees that Obama is bringing? And he said, yes. Number three, I said, what is Obama's real reason for flooding America with Muslims right now when so many states say no? And I said, you took a lot of heat for attacking Carson. Don't you think all the Republican candidates should agree to attack Hillary, not each other, during future debates? It was a very interesting, I think it was our best interview. And perhaps Cumulus will post it on some of their outlets, some of their websites. I hope so. It's a very, very important interview for a number of reasons. We learned a lot about Donald Trump's good nature. We learned that he's definitely not a petty politician like Hillary. And like Obama, who has extreme inability to take any criticism. In fact, there's an article about her that just came out that she's hunting down anyone who criticized her in the media. Oh, I don't mean with guns and stuff like that. No, no. No, she's using the old tactics of the Stasi. Hillary is using the Stasi tactics of intimidation. Well, you'd expect it from a liberal. Clinton goes after comedians for making fun of her. This is on the top of Drudge. Personal contact information demanded. Clinton goes after comedians for making fun of her. Are you listening to the corruption of this woman? Clinton goes after Laugh Factory comedians for making fun of her. In what appears to be a first for a serious presidential contender, Hillary Clinton's campaign is going after five comedians who made fun of the former Secretary of Hate in stand-up skits at a popular Hollywood comedy club. That's at the Laugh Factory, and she's demanding personal information. They want their personal contact information. That's what she's doing, going after comedians now. But she's fit for office, as you well know, in a banana republic. Maybe Uruguay in the 1950s would be fit for her to run. Maybe where Evita Perón was, and it wasn't Uruguay. In Tennessee, politician says activate the National Guard to send the refugees out of the state, send them back to ICE. Good point. 855-407-282. Let's take a quick call. Steve on WMAL. What's the topic? Go ahead, please. Steve, go ahead, please. Yeah.
You're a good audience for bullying them. And on your
what?
Point.
Wait, Steve, please, can you just make your point?
Yeah, I was. On your point about Einstein, you can't really predict how 12, 13-year-olds are going to grow up. They may be great contributors to the society. Guys.
Well, I understand that, but Einstein came in as a grown man who was a world-famous physicist, not as a 13-year-old who had the potential to be anything.
Exactly. So why would you stop those guys? The guys that I used to play tennis with, they were all Middle Easterns, and they came over during Nasser.
All right, so since you're such a compassionate, logical man, let me ask you a question. What percentage of the Muslim refugees that Obama is ushering in might be potential terrorists? Are you saying 0%?
No.
Okay, so what percent is it? 1%, 2%, 3%?
I figure it's less than 1%.
All right, less than 1%. So amongst the 100,000 he wants to bring in, what's 1%?
All right, the way you would deal with that...
No. Answer the question. Amongst the 100,000 Muslims that Obama's shoving down our throats... what does 1% of 100,000 equal?
10,000 is what he said, so let's be correct. And
let's be correct. How many is he bringing in?
What I would do in this case, Mark, is I would let the women, the children, the elderly...
You're not answering the question. Stop it. Have a dialogue with me. How many Muslim refugees does Obama intend to bring to America?
10,000.
10,000? Are you sure? Because he said 10,000 initially, then he said 100,000 the very next day. But let's say it's 10,000. What's 1% of 10,000?
100.
100. So let's say it's even 100 terrorists. You're saying that's something for us not to worry about? How many terrorists did it just take to do what they did in Paris? Was it less than 100 or more than 100?
Less than 100. I didn't say you're
Thank you. I rest my case. Have a nice day. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So Obama is using the racist card. Everything that he says is being parroted by all of the henchmen and hench ladies who work for him, right down the line. Anyone opposed to his plan to dump Muslims down our throats from Syria, unvetted Muslim men, mainly 85 to 90% of them are single men of military age. Anyone who opposes it is called a racist. And yet every poll shows that despite the blackmail by this evil president, despite the blackmail, the majority of Americans do not want them here. Now, if we're a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people, if we're a nation that's supposed to have representative government, when you have a rogue president like this, who is acting against the will of the people on a daily basis, what do you expect me to do on this show? Sit here and say, aye, aye, sir, you're the king? He's not a king. He's an elected president who's supposed to be representative of the people, not of Catholic charities, not of Lutheran family services, not of Baptist family services, not of care. God only knows who he really represents. He's supposed to represent you and I. Every poll says we don't want them here. Not because we're bigots, but because we want to live. We don't want to be bloodied by the next terrorist event. And yet they keep going. Anyone who opposes you are racist. They're standard operating procedure. We've heard it our whole life. Mike on WSBA in Pennsylvania. You're next up on the Savage platform. What's on your mind?
Probably,
Mike, go ahead, please. What's with the callers
today? But everybody's stealing your stuff. I mean, Donald's talking about the president being insane, and you were the one that talked about this months ago. Then I'm watching Newt Gingrich and Rudy Giuliani talking about bringing Syrians here. We would have the enemy within. Nice stealing your title from a previous book that I have. So, I mean, I guess you've got pretty thick skin that you let these folks take credit for what you've done and not even...
Well, very soon you'll start hearing them twisted into zero government. They'll start... They can't say government zero because it would spread my message. So they'll say, you know, we really have zero governmental representation. That'll come out of Giuliani's yapper next. But all right, he's a good man. He's on the right side of things. I don't care that they're using my ideas. As Lao Tzu wrote many years ago, many centuries ago, Lao Tzu, what did he say? He said, it does not matter who uses your ideas as long as your ideas are being used. I mean, that's how I feel. As an original thinker, I mean, I'm used to that. I've had book titles when I was younger and did books on immunity. I had a whole book stolen, by the way, by a French publisher. An entire book, the entire manuscript was stolen by a French publisher, and we couldn't do anything about it. So it is not the first time ideas have been used by me. I'm an original thinker, and people need original thinkers in order to think originally. But I'm sending you government zero for the holidays. Do not cook it with your turkey, because at a certain temperature, it will catch fire. I think it's Fahrenheit 451. I'm not quite sure at what temperature paper catches fire, which is why you're not supposed to use paper inside turkeys, incidentally. All right, my friends, these are serious times. They are very difficult times to sleep in. And the worst of this talk was this article, this fallacious argument that most Americans opposed admitting Jewish refugees before World War II, and the very same number of bigoted Americans are now opposing the innocent, creative, wonderful Syrian refugees. One of the most horrendous, disgusting twists of reality that I've ever seen. But it didn't stop Dana Milbank, whoever that may be. I don't know what a Dana Milbank is. It sounds like a recipe. Dana Milbank may be a recipe for Thanksgiving, but in the Washington Post, he argues that we're xenophobic to keep refugees out. And they're comparing it to the SS St. Louis, the ship of Jewish refugees turned away from Florida. This is the ugliest comparison I've seen yet by the Obamaite liberal complex. There's no equivalency. Because we know that amongst those Muslims, there will be terrorists. The man who just called said that it's probably 1%. Even he, as a decent man, said, well, I admit that maybe 1% of them will be terrorists. Well, that's a lot of number, a big number. Let's say 10,000, that's 100 people be terrorists. And how many did it take to do their damage in Paris? It was certainly less than 100, wasn't it? So you're not worried about that? How many Westerners are going to die because of Obama's insanity? How many? How many more Westerners will die to let them into this country? If it's only 100 out of 10,000, can you imagine what it'll be if he lets in 100,000? That escalates it, doesn't it? What's 1% of 100,000? That's 1,000 terrorists. That's enough, Mr. Milbank? Let me address it to Dana Milbank. If it's only 100 terrorists amongst the 1,000, amongst the 10,000 that are let in, where do you want them to live? In your backyard? Why doesn't Dana Milbank invite some of them to go work at the Washington Post? Why don't the politicians invite them in their homes? But my best idea of the day was this. All of these good liberals who want the refugees, why don't they put up some collateral in the form of a house, a mortgage, into a fund for potential victims of refugee terrorism down the line? And if there is no terrorism, they get their money back with interest. If there is, the fund is used to compensate victims for terror. What is wrong with that idea? Well, then you put reality where it is. You know, there's a Buddhist saying. A Buddhist said, don't fight with reality because you're always going to lose. You ever hear that one? Whether it's in love or business or war, don't fight with reality because you're always going to lose. Have you ever heard that one? You never heard that. Robert, you never heard that. Buddhist master said, I'll say it over and over again until you hear me, don't fight with reality because you're always going to lose. Reality will always win. You heard it first in the Savage Nation, right? The wit and wisdom of Michael Savage. Don't fight with reality because you'll always lose. What does that mean? It means that logic would dictate the reality of the situation is right now, while it is true that most Muslims are not terrorists, it's unfortunately true that almost all terrorists are Muslim on the planet today. I said almost all. So given that that's the logic today, and by the way, that logical statement was made not by Michael Savage, but it was made right after 9/11 by a Muslim scholar. I'm just repeating it, parroting what he said. So given that that is the case, why would the reality of the situation dictate that you bring in Muslims right now, especially from a war zone, and knowing that they're not vetting them, that they can't vet them, they don't know who they are? That 8 of them had the same name, by the way, recently on an analysis. And how do you explain that the DHS and the FBI knew this mastermind, so-called, had him on their watch list, and did nothing about it? Tell me why the FBI didn't drag him in and throw him into a holding tank. Tell me why. You have the answers to any of these questions? Because I do. I have answers to all these questions right here on the Savage Nation, home of Government Zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here are the headlines on MichaelSavage.com. Paris terrorists caught in raid plan to attack airport and mall next. And you'll see one of the brave terrorists with his behind showing. I'm sure that he will sue the French for violating his religion by marching him out with his pants off. Well, that's a violation of his culture and religion right there. You can't show a terrorist behind. Apparently that's a violation of their religion. I guess they can't go to heaven if at any time they're shown naked to the world. Here a police dog killed by woman suicide bomber. America's enemies within. How nearly 70 have been arrested in America over ISIS plots. Thank our intelligence agencies for that. And so Obama says that we're not, we shouldn't be worried about women and orphans. The 7-year-old Belgian Shepherd dog, Malinois, was killed by terrorists when French special forces raided an apartment building in the Saint-Denis early on Wednesday morning. A Twitter user who paid tribute to the dog, Diesel, said he had died to defend our colors, while one police handler said it was a little like losing one of our colleagues. Well, that's only part of the story. But let me tell you something, there's a lot more to the story than that. And the reason we're saluting the Russians today is Putin is sending 150,000 soldiers to Syria to wipe out the subhumans in the Islamic State. 150,000 Russian soldiers. And suddenly you will see all of the brave men who rape 8-year-old girls, the brave men who pose on social welfare sites with the weaponry that is given to them by these vermin. You'll see them flee like the rats that they are as the Russians go in. And let me tell you something that you don't know. The Russians are not going to be followed by Jake Tapwater. I can guarantee you that the Russians will not let Jake Tapwater or any of the other boys from America's Brazil of the jungle, called the media, follow them into action. Because unlike America, they're not going to be constrained by rules of engagement, which almost guarantee that our men get killed or shot first. I can guarantee you the Russians will not be followed by Jake Tapwater. They will not be followed by cameras. They will not have helmet cams. They will go in and clean them out. They will kill them, every last one of them. At the same time that Russia is stepping up to take out the worst threat to civilization since the Nazis, your leader is leading with his hind, not only doing as little as he can, possibly working for the other side, as evidenced by the fact that yesterday I showed you definitively on this program that before our Air Force bombed 118 ISIS fuel trucks, your commander-in-chief leafleted the truck drivers and told them to get out before they got killed. If that does not show you everything you need to know about Hussein in the White House, I don't know what else to present before you. Moreover, there is no valid reason why these so-called refugees should not be resettled in Islamic countries. There are approximately 15 Islamic nations. Most of them have Arabic speakers. They have the same religion. They have plenty of money. They have plenty of land. Why is no one insisting that these Muslims from Syria and from Iraq be sent to Middle Eastern nations, and that we take in the Christians and Yazidis who are being slaughtered, raped, murdered, kidnapped by the Muslim bastards? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand that you're at war? If you can still walk around as this doesn't really affect you and lie to yourself, you know, only bigots would oppose bringing in Syrian refugees. Do you understand it's the same as the Jews in World War II? Don't you understand that a survey done in 1939 by Gallup about admitting Jewish children said, no, don't bring them in? Don't you understand that the same bigotry that existed in America then exists in America now by the same right-wingers? Don't you understand that this is the lie being put out by the liberal organs of propaganda? Now, how do we compare the two situations unless you're mentally ill? Only a mentally ill liberal would compare the Jews of the 1930s fleeing Hitler to the Syrian refugees that Obama is importing into the United States of America. Of course they're different. Jewish immigrants weren't trying to kill us. Jewish immigrants didn't come here with suicide belts. Jewish immigrants generally were Jewish. Do I have to spell out what that means in a Judeo-Christian nation? They were not Muslim. We are a Judeo-Christian society. Judeo-Christian society. Not a Muslim, a Muso-Christian society, as Hussein would have you believe. The situation now is completely different. Jewish liberals are once again being hoodwinked by the illegitimate administration. You have no concern in admitting refugees from Syria? None? You have no concerns about this? Then you are mentally ill in light of what's going on in the world. You know, there's no difference between these religious so-called front groups that are making billions in smuggling refugees into America and the coyotes who smuggle refugees into America. You realize that they're just like smuggling groups? Do you realize the Catholic charities and the Lutheran charities and the Jewish charities that are making money hand over fist on these refugees that are being brought in are very similar to the coyotes who smuggle people into this country? Oh, I know one is legal and one is illegal, but tell me when that ever made a difference, when the fundamental result is the same. I mean, coyote made $2,000, $3,000 a head for bringing in Mexicans illegally. How much a head do you think Catholic Charities is making for bringing in Syrians? Probably far more than that. So you see, if you follow the money, you understand that it all gets kicked up to the Vatican. Oh, yeah, there's a little vig comes off the top. And now you understand why the Pope and Obama are so cozily in agreement on so many things. All right, here's a story that could only come in the United States of America, in a world of total madness, John Kerry gave remarks this morning at the U.S. Embassy in Paris, where he said the Charlie Hebdo attack had legitimacy and a rationale behind it, unlike the Paris attacks last Friday. Now, either he's crazy, or he also is working for the Crescent. Secretary of State John Mad Dog Kerry's remarks at the U.S. Embassy in Paris Tuesday morning, he suggested Friday's attack was different from the Charlie Hebdo attacks early in the year because the latter had a sort of legitimacy and particularized focus behind them. I'm not writing this for effect. This is not a joke. Here is what the lunatic Ketchup Kerry said. There's something different about what happened from Charlie Hebdo, and I think everybody would feel that, Kerry said. According to the State Department's transcript, there was a sort of particularized focus and even legitimacy in terms of, not a legitimacy, but a rationale that you could attach yourself to somehow and say, okay, they're really angry because of this and that. I rest my case. Impeach them all. Try them for insanity. But this is what we're facing right now. Do you think there's a sane person in the entire Obama administration? Do you think that there's one person in the Obama administration who knows what's going on? And where would that person be? Who would that person be? What department are they in? Let's see. Let's go down the list and see. Let's see which department a sane administrator might be. Would it be in the war against ISIS? No. Would there be a sane leader in the military command structure? No. Would there be a sane leader in education? No. Would there be a sane leader in the social policies division? No. Would there be a sane leader in immigration? No. Would there be a sane leader who deals with religion? No. Would there be a sane leader in the world of science? No. Would there be a sane leader in the world of business in the administration? No. Would there be a sane leader in the world of liberty and free speech in the administration? No. Obama says gun control to be top issue of final year. Okay, I was saving it. President the deranged Obama hopes to make gun control a top issue of his final year in office, saying Americans aren't more violent than other people, but they have more deadly weapons to out-act their rage. In an interview published in GQ magazine, Mr. Crazy Obama said that he's going to seek gun control as one of the last things he does before he leaves office. At a time that he's flooding us with military-age males, mainly Muslims, from Syria, from war zones, he wants to disarm you. So does Hillary Clinton. I rest my case. The statement itself completes the whole discussion. Why are they not taking them in Saudi Arabia? Why are they not taking them into Lebanon? Why are they not taking them into Turkey? Why are they not taking them into surrounding Muslim states? Why are they not taking them into Iran? Why are they exporting them by airplane to us? Because he's bringing an army. Obama is literally seeding an army in the United States of America. I'll stop the paragraph right there. This has nothing to do with humanitarianism. He's insane. Russia and France are pounding ISIS's Syrian stronghold of Raqqa after the deadly terror attacks Friday. And even though the United States has the largest number of airstrikes against ISIS, Obama is in a slap fight while others are punching hard, say military experts. This is on Fox News. He's slapping them while others are punching hard. And I read you the story that he had our Air Force drop leaflets on ISIS truck drivers in 100-some-odd fuel trucks, telling them to run because bombs were coming, and he let them escape to fight another day before he had our men bomb the trucks. Now, if we had done this in World War II, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. I personally think he's fighting for the other side. And he's doing as little as he possibly can to avoid the obvious for even the dumbest Kardashian watcher. I would say even the dumbest person on earth can see what he's doing if they ever stopped and took a look at what he's doing. They say, well, that's not right. Why would you leaflet the enemy before bombing them? I think that even a follower of Hillary Clinton would say that doesn't make sense unless you want them to get away to fight another day, right? The latest headline, the Untermensch from Morocco, who masterminded the killings in Paris, apparently was killed last night in the raid by the brave Parisian policeman. What an attack that was. I couldn't stop watching it last night. It went on for hours. They blew up an entire apartment block. I wonder if the equivalent of the ACLU in France will now sue the police for disturbing the sleep of the other jihadists and fellow travelers in that apartment building. And we have a picture of the Paris terrorists who did not get blown up in the raid, who were planning to attack the Charles de Gaulle Airport and a mall next. They stopped these vermin before they struck again. In other words, they did a preemptive raid unlike that of Barry Soetrou. Barry Soetrou will not do preemptive raids. The FBI has 1,000 investigations ongoing. You can drag them all out by their filthy hair right now. Drag them out! Detain them! Before they kill children in this country. Even Hollande, the socialist Hollande, knows that you have to do extraordinary things to protect your people. But not Soetrou. And you know what's interesting about Barry from Honolulu? Instead of attacking the Muslim terrorists, he attacks Republicans. He is such a sick puppy that when you listen to clip one, you're going to see how ill this man is and why I will repeat again what I believe needs to be done. We need to convene a board of medical examiners, 9 psychiatrists picked by both parties after much squabbling, to determine whether this man is fit to serve as president and commander-in-chief, because he is evidencing all the signs of mental illness. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. President Hussein has just threatened to veto any legislation that wants tighter scrutiny of the Muslims he's shoving down our throats. I couldn't make this up. It's right out of the show Homeland. He didn't say that he would be glad to increase the scrutiny of the Muslims he's shoving down our throat in order to protect Americans from a possible suicide bomber. He didn't meet anyone halfway. He said, drop dead. You want more security? Go to you know where. You're not getting it. I'm shoving down your throat. Why is he doing this? Anyone have any idea? Here's an email to me on my Facebook page. Obama is not loyal to the USA citizens and should be impeached. His agenda is to crush Christians and move Islam to the U.S. He is a traitor and will continue to destroy our nation if he is not removed. Congress must remove to impeach this evil man. We the people should take to the streets and protest to this monster. Now, I wouldn't have read this response on Facebook if I only got it once. I get it thousands of times. I read it on every website you can imagine. He also put out the big lie that anyone who opposes these refugees is afraid of Syrian women and children. Right after that, a female Muslim terrorist blew herself up last night in Paris, killing this hero dog named Diesel. And what's intriguing is I put the story of the hero police dog Diesel up on my Facebook page, and I got 165,771 people responding. It's so far the largest response to any of my Facebook postings. People are not as asleep as Obama may think. They're not all really that interested in anything but their own survival. They know that he's somehow off, that there's something wrong with this picture. Lori on KSFO, you're going to have the last word. You've got about a minute to do. Lori's gone. She said, stop the coming civil war is coming to pass before our eyes. Well, line four is dead on my board, so I can't take Lori. So let's forget Lori. There's nothing here on line four. She's gone. I've had trouble with calls all day, so there's no difference now. And if you've been listening to this show all day, you see where I'm coming from. These are terrible times. This is not something to laugh about. This is not something you can just ignore. We have a rogue president. We have a rogue administration. They all seem to be drugged on the same exact lie, the liberal lies, that the Syrian refugees are just like the Jews of the 1930s. It's bigotry to oppose them. The same exact story is being put out that Obama is espousing. It's coming from the very same people that work for him. And all I can say at the conclusion of this show is that we have a rogue government with a rogue president, which does not represent the American people. In other words, we have a government zero. It is part of the progressive Islamist takeover, filled with vain and aspiring men and women who would put their own power ahead of the safety of the citizenry. That's my message. It's simple. It's short and sweet. That's my message. It's very, very direct. Vain and aspiring men and women who put their own ego and greed above that of the survival of the American people. I would say shame on you, Governor Brown, but I know you have no shame.